So this morning, we're going to carry on from where we stopped last week. So what we do as a church is that on a monthly basis, we will look at, we'll get a sense of what God's asking us to talk about or to focus on. And when we get the sense of what that is, then we'll talk about that for a month, and it becomes like a series for us as a church. So this month, we're looking at something that I've called this thing called love. This thing called love. And we looked at the first installment of that 2 weeks ago before our convention started last week. And when we looked at it 2 weeks ago, we focused on what it means to understand the love of God for us and our love for God as the basis of our relationship in this Christian walk with God. So that's what we looked at the last time. Today we're going to carry on with the second installment, and we're looking at finding the one. And I mentioned that to kick off the series 2 weeks ago, we're looking at our love for God and God's love for us as the foundation for our Christian walk. And we looked at the life of Peter. But I'm not going to go over that this morning. If you'd like to listen to that, it's on our website. Today we're looking at finding the one. Finding the one. And this is looking at more like romantic relationships. How can I find the person that I'm going to get married to or that I'm going to be with? What are the things that I should be looking out for? What are the things that, you know, would ensure that we're compatible and things like that? Just finding the one. And I was just thinking that, just, you know, reflecting over this, and what I realized, just, you know, looking at the internet and just culture generally, there's a lot of emphasis, I believe, on relationships at the moment. I did a Google search. I don't know what else. I think I searched for something like finding love or something. I just wanted to see what the results would be like. And there were hundreds of thousands of results. It's like, man, this love thing is really high on people's agenda. Then I was also watching a documentary that just popped up on YouTube, not like a really pleasant one. And it was talking about, I don't know if you guys have heard this before, about these things called catfishing or romance scams. This is where you go on like, this is where, you know, people meet people online and they're not aware that the person that they're talking to online is not who they say they are. And, you know, I was just like fascinated with this, where you'd find like a woman connected to someone, maybe they met the person on the internet, on Facebook or something, and they start chatting. And before you know it, they, you know, become attached and all that. And there was this woman that they were talking about, several women actually, who had fallen prey to this. One of them got in love with this person, this fictitious person, and the person ended up, you know, collecting like, is it $20,000 from them. They now found out that this person that they were having this supposed relationship with wasn't the person. They were actually like a fake person and all that. And I now Googled something else, and the result I got was that in the US alone, in the United States alone, I saw this yesterday, over $1 billion is estimated has been lost to these kinds of scams. You know? And there was a woman that she lost about $1 million. Someone scammed her, like a romance person. And she said in her entire life, she could never have imagined that she would fall prey to that kind of thing, because she's an intelligent woman. It was just like something that could never happen to her. But she fell victim to it. Anyway, that's not the real the topic for conversation today. What I'm just trying to highlight is this. A lot of people are searching for love. People want love. People want someone that will love them unconditionally for them. People want someone that will care for them. You know, someone who they can spend their time with, who they can do life with, that's the phrase. And it's something that's big on the agenda of everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. People want this love thing. In fact, again, on the internet, I was just looking at this gentleman, and this guy is like, I think he was about 80-something. And he put in there, his phrase was, at 80-something, oh, how I wish I can still find the love of my life. So even a guy that's 80-something is still like dreaming about this love thing. So it's a big deal. So you might say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. No problem, but it would apply to someone that you know. So don't tune out. That's what I'm saying. Don't zone out. So this morning, we want to look at the biblical perspective with regard to finding someone for your life. We also want to look at something I'd call being single in the context of this. So I'll make a few points this morning. So I'm going to focus on being single and finding someone if that's the thing that you are after. And I'm going to take my text from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24, talking about the life of Adam and Eve. And I think the thing that comes to mind any time I believe we think about Adam and Eve is that apple that just comes to your mind. That apple is very significant. So, okay, I'm saying apple. The Bible doesn't really say it's an apple, you know, a fruit. But I'll just say it's an apple. That's what I want. If, you know, that's the thing that comes. We're not sure if it's an apple or whatever, but that's the thing that comes to mind. So we want to read the story of Adam and Eve, how Adam met Eve, and we'll pick a few points from there that I believe will help us or someone we know. You know, people come to me sometimes and like, oh, Pastor Benson, there's this girl that I like. This is happening. Another person comes, oh, there's this. So this will help us to contextualize, okay, what is it that I should be looking for? Or if someone comes to you for advice, then you might be able to help them with some of these pointers that I'll be talking about this morning. So I'm going to read from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. It's a slightly long read, but stay with me. So this is the story of how Adam was looking for, well, how Adam met Eve. And we'll pick a few points from that. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord had formed out of the ground the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man, this is to Adam, to see what he would call them or what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed the place up with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In short, he said, wow. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they become one flesh. So, maybe you've read the story before and you're like, Pastor Benson, isn't this something we should be reading in Sunday school? Tell the kids this one. Give us something more grown up. We know the story. We've been read. Relax. Do you get what I mean? Just relax. I will just go through a few points. So Adam, God creates Adam. He's going about his business. The Bible says he's in the garden. God has said, okay, this is the garden, Adam. I've made you. Just, you know, do stuff here. Adam is waking up every day, walking in the garden, talking with God. And for him, life is just going on as normal. Then God begins to look at this man and he says, Adam, it's not good for this man to be alone. I will make someone for him, someone to help him. Then God does something interesting. He causes Adam to fall asleep. And while Adam is sleeping, he performs closed bone surgery. You know, just cuts a bit, takes the rib out, and he forms Eve from here. How he did it, I don't know. The doctors can tell me that. Maybe they can tell me that. So he forms the woman from Adam whilst Adam is asleep. Then before this time, before he forms the woman, the Bible says that God creates loads of animals and he makes the animals to pass by Adam. This was before he formed him. He creates lions, tigers, everything. And he causes them to pass before Adam to see what Adam would name them. And Adam names this one lion, tiger. He names them. And the Bible says, after that, God now causes Adam to sleep because there was still no helper found for him. While Adam is sleeping, he removes a rib and forms the woman, brings the woman to Adam. Adam is like, my goodness, bone of my bone, this is the person. And they get married. So that's the short form of that story. So what's the point? Why am I telling this story? Why are we reading this portion of scripture this morning? I think that in this portion of scripture that we're reading this morning, it says a lot that we can take from. It says something about singleness. It says something about how one gets married as a Christian. Now, you know, one might say to oneself, when it comes to like singing songs, I can, you know, in church, I can, that's church stuff. When it comes to reading your Bible, that's church stuff. When it comes to doing things in the context of the, you know, that's church stuff. But when it comes to relationships, that's my stuff. I'm going to do it the way I think it should be done. And what happens is we will take experiences from, I don't know, the people that we've met, what we've seen on telly, what we've heard, what we've read, what we've seen on Instagram, and all those things. And we use those things as the basis for choosing or for engaging in relationships with people. Do you understand? And, you know, one thing I say is this, to me personally. You know, when you look at Instagram sometimes, and I think this is absolutely great, you know, don't misunderstand me. You see these couples, and they're like, maybe like newlyweds or whatever, and they post these pictures of themselves, click in Hawaii, smiley face, click, baby in Dubai playing in the pond, fantastic, click, having a ball, this is my, but one thing I say is that, hang on, Mr. and Miss, or Mrs. Instagram, if you're posting those pictures of, in Dubai, then post the picture of you arguing with your husband. Post the picture of you with a mad face saying, post a picture of you with your baby pulled all over you and how annoyed you are because you can't get to work. Post a picture of yourself angry. Why am I saying this? Because people don't post those kind of things. So what that leaves you and I with is when you now are in, I don't know, that's for next week, but I'll just, so when you are in a relationship and your husband throws his socks on the couch and you've told him, look, honey, pick your sock up and put it in the trash, but in the laundry, not trash, in the laundry, and he keeps doing it. Or, you guys don't do this in this church. You guys are angels. I mean, you don't get annoyed. You just like, you know. So it doesn't apply to you. Don't worry. And when these things happen, you now remember the Instagram post. It's like, this guy's on Instagram. Their marriage is not like this. They're always happy. Something is wrong with my marriage. There's nothing wrong with your marriage. Nothing. It's just that those guys, they don't post the real things sometimes. Thank you. Filtered. Properly filtered. Anyway, so what am I saying here? I'm saying that most of the times we will base our choice, our mode of choosing, our expectations of marriage and love on what popular culture presents to you. And a lot of the times, popular culture doesn't present everything to you and I. It doesn't. But we want to look at what God actually says, because God always presents the truth to us in its entirety. He presents it to us. He doesn't snap some Instagram post and he lets us see that. No, he lets us see everything that pertains to it. He let us see how Eve was deceived. He let us see how Adam was blaming his wife, is the wife that he didn't hide any of that, because God does not do Instagram posts where he posts just the pleasant things. No, he lets you and I see everything in its entirety. Do you understand? So, why am I making such a fuss? And it seems like, oh man, Pastor B's temperature is rising. It's rising because I see people every day and it's like, oh, my husband is this, my wife is this. And I'm like, says who? Says who? Says who? Sort this thing out, man. Prince, why are you laughing? I said, sort this thing out. I mean, come on, relax. Relax. So, coming back to today's topic, choosing the one. So I've just read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24, and I'm just going to highlight a few points this morning, then after that we'll pray. The first thing I see here is this. Probably not directly related. The Bible says that Adam was going about his business, and it was God who was watching Adam and came to the conclusion that, look, this guy needs someone. This guy needs someone. So what that tells me as the first point is that, contrary to what you and I might think, that God is only interested in the big things, in quote, God is only interested in us when we are, you know, praying in church and all that. No, God is interested in every little minute detail. He's interested in how you're feeling. He's interested in how things are with you. So Adam was going about his business and God in the background was like, man, what's up with this guy? What is up with this guy? So we see God being concerned about you and I as individuals. Why am I harping on this point? I'm harping on this point because often we don't think God is really, if we're frank, really interested in the things that hurt us, the things that give us concern, because we don't think they're spiritual enough. God has hundreds and millions of people to deal with. How can he be concerned that I'm feeling sad? What does my sadness have to do with God? How can God be concerned that today I'm just feeling a bit down? You know what I mean? I need an ice cream to cheer me up. God doesn't have time for that. Apparently, he does. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. You see it? God was saying here, see, to you, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. So God uses this analogy to tell us that we are engraved on his hand. So every time he looks at his hands, he sees you and I. We're not like an afterthought. We're not, when we are in trouble, that's when God says, oh, that guy is in trouble. Let me try and see someone to help him. No. Whether you're good, whether you're not too good, whether you're in trouble, whether you're not in trouble, whether life is good, whether life is not what you're expecting at the moment, God is always interested in what's going on with you. He is. He is. So the first point here is this. Adam is going about his business and God is interested in him. The same way God is looking at your life and He sees exactly where you are. Maybe not in the context of relationships per se, but with regards to everything that has to do with your life. Every moment counts to him. Everything in your life matters to God. Even the things you think are not relevant or important. So the first point we see is God caring so much for Adam when Adam is even oblivious that God is there. And God is the one that says, oh, what's up with this gentleman? Let me look for someone for him. The second point I want to make from here is this. Adam did not know he needed a wife or there was anything missing. Realize, God didn't say, this man is missing something. God said, this man needs someone to help him. He didn't say, this man is incomplete. He didn't say, this man is half finished. He didn't say, this man cannot really make it through life. He said, no, this man needs somebody to help him. So this brings me to the point of singleness that we need to be quite careful about. Now, popular culture has also sold us what I'll call a myth. And part of this is my own opinion, by the way. So I'll leave you to make the choice, the decision. I believe popular culture has sold us a myth that if you are single, there's something wrong with you. That if you're single, something is missing from your life. That if you're single, you're like an incomplete person. But I beg to differ that that's not true. That is not true. Popular culture, you switch on YouTube and the impression is, oh, you need a girl. You need a man. You need that to make you complete. You need a this, a that. Otherwise, you're like, oh, I mean, I've got everything, but I just need a guy or a girl. I just need... And that's what popular culture festers in us. And it brings us to the point, often, where we're agitated if we do not have a relationship or if we're not married. We're agitated. It's like something is missing. But God says, no, nothing is missing. Nothing whatsoever is missing in you. Nothing at all. So, will everybody get married? No, not everybody is going to get married. Is there a problem with that? No, there's no problem with that. But you might desire a relationship, and there's no problem with that either. But what I'm just saying is that one does not trump the other. One is not better than the other. One isn't better than the other. And we need to understand that. And let people around you understand that as well. So for Adam, he wasn't forced. He wasn't like, oh, I need to. Now, you might have the desire that he wants like a relationship, and that is fine. But what I'm just saying is that we must not allow that desire, wherever it's coming from, to put us in a place where we think that we are incomplete, because that's not true. That is not true. Now, why do I know that's not true? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 to 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 7 to 8 says, Paul was saying, he says, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and to the widow, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. You know, there was this sister a long time ago, and they were talking about rapture, where Jesus comes back. And in a flash, the Bible tells us we all go to be with the Lord in heaven. And she was like, God, my prayer is this. Please don't rapture until I get married. After I get married and I find a mate, you can rapture after that. But before then, please leave me here. There's this guy that I think... So Paul says here, he says, look, I wish that all of you are as I am, unmarried. And some people are like, well, Pastor, I read that from the Bible. Please project it on the screen. He says, I wish that all of you were as I am. But each one has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another that. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. So one is saying, hang on, what do you mean by that, Pastor Benson? Now, Paul isn't saying that, look, we shouldn't desire to get married. He was saying that some people can do it. But the point I'm making here is this. Singleness is okay. You guys are like, my goodness, Pastor Benson, what are you talking about? That's what the Bible says. It's okay. Then Paul now goes a step further in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, he says, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. For now unto those who have wives, so he says, for from now on those who have wives should live as if they do not. But I put a PS in that one. Don't get home now and say, the Bible says I should live like I do. Excuse me. Live as if you don't have a wife. Dinner to the kitchen yourself. No, that's not what that means, by the way. But Paul is saying something here. He's making the point that singleness is okay. If you want to get married or, you know, and all that, that's okay as well. But none is better than the other. That's the point. None is better than the other. Do we understand what I'm saying? But this isn't really what popular culture tells us. True. So, the first point I made is that God is really interested in us. He's always thinking about us. The same way he was thinking about Adam and was like, what's up with this man? He goes and he says, this man needs someone to help him. The second thing we see is that singleness is fine. And if you want, you know, not everybody's going to get married. That's the truth of the matter. If you get married, God bless you. If you don't, you're cool. Do you understand? Maybe I should put this on YouTube. Then people put comments. Hey, what do you mean? Relax. I won't put this one on YouTube. But that's what the Bible says. So that, look, we can live a life that is stressless. I'm telling you. You know? Okay. So we've talked about God really caring for us, being interested in everything that has to do with us. We've looked at the fact that if you desire to be married or to have a relationship, that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine as well. All right? So we now move on to the next point here. And this is where we begin to look at, okay, let's even assume that, you know, you're interested in a relationship and all that. How'd you go about it? Pastor Benson, don't tell me that. I don't know how to go about this. Skip that point. I don't know how to get, you know, whoever it is I'm going to get. That's fine. You will participate in the process, by the way. But there's a key thing that I want to bring out here. The key thing I want to bring out here is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge, always submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So the third point I'm making here is this. Do you know that God is interested and God knows the person that will suit you the most? So we need to trust God in this process. The key word there is trust. So what that means is this, that, I mean, someone might say, I mean, God's not here. Well, he is. I mean, I can't see God. How is God going to help me to find someone? Is God going to appear on my Instagram post now or to me at night and say, that's the person? No, relax. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying, having the sense at the back of your mind that, look, even as I go on this journey of trying to look for someone to get married to or a relationship or whatever, God is the one that is going to help me. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is the one that is going to help me. So that way, we do not, even though we are the ones that participate in this whole process, we have it at the back of our minds that, look, I'm not going to be worried. I believe that God's going to help me, bring me across the person who is for me, or bring the person who is for me to me. And we need to be really, we need to be quite careful about this point as well. Because it's quite easy to mix up between what your responsibility is in this whole business, and what God's responsibility is. And I'm just going to make a few points, but these are my own points, by the way. You don't have to accept. I heard someone, this was probably good advice, but I'll leave it to you guys. And this person was telling this group of young people that, you know, the reason that you guys want to get married and all that, you're not getting a spouse or someone is interested in you, is because you're not making yourself visible. Post yourself on Instagram and on Facebook. Take pictures. Put loads of those so that people can know you exist. I know you guys don't do that. Post, you know, you can't just sit in your house and expect that someone will find you. I mean, how would they know you exist? Post. Go to where people are. Go to gatherings. Go to parties, go to occasions so that people can see you and all that. And that's fine, by the way. That is actually fine. I think if you want to post on Instagram, fine. If you want to go to gatherings where people are, that's fine as well. But the thing is this. I think we shouldn't put the cart before the horse, which is, you can do that if that's what you want to do. But one must not think that that is what's going to get the job done for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was this girl, she lived in the States. Young, I read the story. Young girl, I don't know, probably she was in her 20s, early 20s. And I think she had finished school. She had like very good prospects in the States. And she was involved in the church quite well. And what came to her mind was that God wanted her to be a missionary in a remote place in, I don't know, one of these African countries. This remote village that I'm talking about, no electricity, no running water. It was like a proper village. And she said, look, that's what I believe God wants me to do. Then her friends and some of the people around her said, look, you're a pretty girl. You're American. You speak good English. You're well educated and all that. If you go to that African village, you know that you're never going to get married because who are you? Who will you meet there? Who are you going to, you know, it's like your life is just going to be. And in their mind, they were thinking, if this person is going to, because I think a lot of her mates were getting hooked up or married. So the logical thought was that if you go to a place where there are no men, so to speak, you're on your own. You're on your own. And she says, well, let me be on my own then if that's the case. True life story, by the way. But she goes. Then unknown to her, another boy who I think they had met before in the past. He also in another country, another region of the States, wanted to be a missionary as well. And they transferred this boy to the same village that she was in a few years later. This was a guy that she really liked when she was young, girl. And this was a guy that really liked her as well. They had lost contact. And they found themselves in the same village. You know the story. Oh, how did you get here? And she's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, Mr. MC, how did you get here? I thought you were in England. And like, oh, sorry, I just happened to be here on this missionary thing, so on and so forth. But what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this, which is the third point that I made. God is the perfect matchmaker, I tell you. You can matchmake yourself, that's fine. But if you want a matchmaker that's that will bring you the person, assuming that's what you want, that is perfect for you, let the chief matchmaker do it for you. I'm like, what? Pastor Benson, are you saying God is a matchmaker? Yes. Yes. He's better than, what's the name of that dating site? I don't know. You guys are going to pretend. Give me three dating sites there. Give me three, any three. Shout them out, don't worry. I won't shout. Oh, they're laughing. Any dating site, give me three. It's better than all of them. They want, you know, I think dating sites are quite popular. They have all these things that, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't go to dating. I'm just saying, well, I'm not going to mention it here. So, he can fix you up. You don't have to pay subscription fees to any of those dating sites. I'm serious. God is super matchmaker. So he match made Adam. And he brought someone to Adam. And Adam was like, ooh, golly, if you're American. Oh, man. My bone, flesh, my flesh. They didn't have like modern English that time. It was still, you know, it was still like limited diction. But if it was like nowadays, you'll have been, you guys give me something like an exclamation for excitement. My goodness. Is it my goodness? Oh, my goodness. Give me an exclamation for excitement. Wow. Another one. What did that guy say there? My sperm. That's not exciting, my friend. This guy was excited. He's like, golly, I didn't know you were here. If he was American, Southern American. What a woman. Ah, my goodness, golly. You look sweeter than the barbecues in Southern Texas. Honey, you look like the sunshine in Southern Alabama. Where you come from? Oh, I've just come from around the garden. Whoa. I've been in this garden. I'm Adam. Where you been? I didn't know you existed. Well, I do. And this guy was so excited. Why? He allowed the chief matchmaker to be involved in the process for him. So, am I saying we should just not make moves ourselves? If you want to post on Instagram or not, I mean, go ahead. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm just saying is this. If there's anyone who's like in that process or someone comes to you for advice, tell them that there's someone that they can trust in that can help them for free. Do you understand? Irrespective of where they are, there's someone that can help them. So, what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about love and relationship. And we're saying, how do I find the one? And what does singleness mean? That's what we're looking at this morning. And I'm going to end here. I have some other points, but we'll probably carry on with these points next week. But what I'm saying this morning is this. For anyone who is single, not to think that being single is something that is not good. God says it's fine. For anyone who wants a relationship, who wants to get married as well, God says that's fine as well. And also to say, look, if you're going to go into the business of looking or entering into a relationship, then why don't you let God help you? Why? Because God is interested in you and I as well. He's interested that you are hooked up with the right person. Is that the right word, hooked up, right? Hooked up. Is it hooked up? You know, these Gen Z people, they've been teaching me all. If you hear me saying all these slangs, know that I've been associating with these Gen Z people. They're infiltrating my vocabulary, you know. But what am I saying? God is interested in your relationship as well. Next week, we'll probably continue with this, and we'll look at marriage. We'll look at some other things as well. So what I want us to have is a biblical view, to know that this God that we're talking about isn't just distant from us, but that God is interested in every aspect of our lives, even when it comes to relationships. He wants to help you and I. And for those who are married, God wants to help you in your marriage as well, so that you can have a stronger marriage that's based on love, a marriage that's based on reality, not on Instagram. thank you. But something realistic. And God wants to help you and I with regards to that. Amen. I'm going to ask that we rise and pray this morning. You know, I mean, anyone that knows me knows that I take the Bible black and white in its simplicity. I see God in the Bible with regards to every area of my life. God is interested in everything about you because he cares for you. Do you understand? So this morning, I just want us to just pray. And the prayer we want to pray is this. God, for my life, maybe you're searching for a relationship. Maybe you're single and you're not looking for a relationship. You're married, and whatever state you're in from a relationship status perspective, you want to pray and just say, God, two things. Help me to be content. And help me to trust you in whatever state that I am in, so that my life will be based on what your word says concerning me, concerning my relationships. So it's a personal prayer that God, help me this morning. Help me to be content. If you're single, you're cool. Help me to be content. If you're married or in a relationship, God, help me to base my relationship on the truth that you care for me, you care for everything that pertains to me. Father, we just pray. Let's just lift up our voice this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray for everyone that is here that you will help us to be content in whatever status we're in, that we will not fret, we will not compare ourselves with anyone. And for all those who are in relationships or who are married, I'm asking, oh God, help them, oh God, to see and to base their relationship on the truth of your word so that it can be meaningful, so that it can be fulfilling. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Immortal, invincible God, only wise. Father, you have said in your word that you have engraved us on the palm of your hand. Father, thank you for caring about us to the level of detail that might even seem like unfathomable. Why would you be interested in our relationship or anything that concerns us to that level? But Father, because you are, we say thank you this morning. I commit everyone that is here into your hands and those that will listen to this message in the future, asking for just two things, Father. That one, help us to trust you. And two, help us in our relationships. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.